to Transcendental Transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and today is Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Can you believe January is over already? I got to admit, I was like, what happened to it? Wasn't just last week my birthday? I got to tell you, man, I got to tell you, I hope that 2017 does not fly by as fast as this month did, because I am not ready for 2018. Now, that means I'll be 40 years old, and I'm not ready for that. I'm enjoying the last of my 30s, and I'm going to make this year really count. But it is going to be February next month, and, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and in bulk is coming up, and all these nice, fresh energies as winter starts to come to an end and spring is coming to a beginning. You know, it's going to be some good stuff here. But we are coming live from the beautiful city of West Palm Beach, Florida. And actually, it has been cold here. If you guys live in Florida, it has been freezing out here, hasn't it? And I got to say, you know, I know a lot of people enjoy this weather and everything like that, but I don't. I moved away from it from a long time ago for warmth. I like it when it's 90 degrees and I'm sweating and I'm wearing a bikini, but I mean, I don't have a bikini body anymore. I used to. I'm working on getting that back, but it's been cold. But you know, at the last, how are all of you? I hope you guys are doing well. I really do. I got your guys' emails as always. I got your guys' little notes and everything, and I'm glad that most of you are doing well. So many blessings to you guys. And I have had an amazing week. And I got to tell you, this past Sunday, I went to a party for our flag football championship team. At one of the coaches' house. And I got to tell you, you know, my friends have changed out recently. You know, if you go with the flow, sometimes, you know, change is hard for a lot of us. We don't like change. You know, we think that when we lose friends and we lose, you know, ideas or jobs or anything like that, that we're losing a piece of ourselves. But, you know, change is all part of life. And I got to tell you, the new people that are entering my life are really something. I am very happy. I'm making new friends. I'm growing in different ways again. And just when I thought that, you know, things couldn't be any more, you know, exciting, any more happy, you know, life tends to throw me a curveball and say, look, see, there's always something else, you know. And but I gotta say, it was a really nice thing. And I have been working out. I really have. Though my hip, I gotta be honest with you, the last couple weeks, my hip has felt okay. I don't know what's changed. Maybe it's all the therapy, all the acupuncture I've done on myself and with the doctors and everything. It's the exercise. But there was a period where I couldn't work out anymore. You know, I mean, if you listen to the show, when was the last time I listened working out? Because it was, it's been a while. And so I sat there and I was like, well, you know what? I need to say, well, and all of a sudden just my hips. So I took it slow. I started building up slowly, and I've been, you know, I haven't been going crazy because I did have major hip surgery, but I got to tell you, it's been feeling good. And as long as it keeps me feeling good, I'm going to keep doing with it, because like I said, I got to get back into shape. You know, I love who I am and I accept who I am and I love the body I'm in, but you know, I know that I enjoy being healthy and fit and where I can do lots of good stuff. But if you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Again, we're opening the phone lines back up at 310-861-2341 and ask any questions that you want, especially if it pertains, or if you want to share a little something for tonight, please give us a call. But also, we are streaming live on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/ Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. And again, I apologize. One of my students brought this to light that I guess for the last last couple of shows, there you couldn't hear the intro or the commercials, you know, that were on the YouTube channel. So I was just sitting there smiling and everything. And I haven't listened to the shows recently. And we need to get caught back up on that. And all of a sudden, and nobody's ever said that. All the listeners, nobody ever mentioned that. So thank you for finally telling us what's going on. So this week's weekly question is actually from a student of mine, and her question reads that I really enjoyed your show last week as it helped clarify a lot. My question to you is, why do we have so many spirit guides and not just one? Anna Valencia from Florida. Well, Anna, this is a great question, and I'm glad you asked this because a lot of people ask this as well. We have a lot to do here. I mean, there are a lot of souls. There are a lot of different people here, and there are a lot of different jobs. And so I tell people, you know, you may have one spirit guide, one main spirit guide, but they're also being a main spirit guide maybe for 10, 500 or 1,000 other souls here, or it's usually never that much, but I'm just saying that they do a lot of other souls at once, because we can spread ourselves out to be anywhere and everywhere at once, and time or restriction isn't the matter. And so imagine trying to take on, if you had to be the runner guide and you had to be the healer guide and you had to be the guide of knowledge and you had to do all these different tasks for all these different souls at once, that would be a lot. Even though we are capable of so much, that is a lot. And why wouldn't we want to have guides that do specific jobs for us? And so each of our guides has specific vibrations that resonate with the tasks and challenges that we are facing during our life. So as I said, as I do the radio show, even there's a guide that I have for that, for the communications and the channeling and everything. And that comes in with a specific vibration so that I am able to do what I'm able to do, and they're able to help me, and that resonates very smoothly. And so therefore, my main guide, Lori, she can kind of relax and just kind of sit back and worry about if my life is going on plan and everything else. But yeah, there's so many souls, and so I would not want to burden, I know it's not like that, but I would not want to burden, one guide with everything that they have to understand about me and watch me and everything, and they're quite capable, but it's just easier as the jobs spread out. So tonight, I am all excited about tonight's show, because this show is actually a very personal show to me as well. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if you're listening because you've had your own personal experiences, or I don't know if you've known somebody, but in this world, we all know somebody that struggled with dependency and addiction. And addiction can get very out of control and can be very fatal. It can be very devastating to people's lives. And so this is a topic that I love to do and I enjoy to do, and I've been a part of it myself, so I speak from personal experience as well. And because tonight is all about the internal conflict and battle of dependence and addiction. Maybe you're one of those that struggle with addictions such as drugs, food, sex, toxic relationships, or maybe even a whirlwind of chaotic emotions. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live a life fully in control of your own needs and wants? Well, by definition, dependency and addiction is a medical condition characterized by the compulsive engagement in rewarding stimuli despite adverse consequences. So in short, it's an activity such as drugs, smoking, gambling, sex, food, nail biting, that brings pleasure through compulsive behavior. And often these type of compulsive behaviors, these type of situations, these type of addictions or dependencies often interferes with our life and our responsibilities. And so when we sit there and we have, I know many people that have had struggled who have had drug addictions. And let me tell you, and I'm going to tell you people, I am not just talking about drug and alcohol addictions throughout the show. I'm talking about all sorts of addictions, but no matter what the addiction addiction is. It does. It interferes with responsibilities of work and school. I know personally when I've gone through periods of my when I was going through depression and I, you know, turned to drugs and drinking and I was on my rampage and stuff and I was going to show the world that they can't mess with me because I've been hurt. You know, my work and school suffered. You know, I couldn't hold down a job for very long. My grades were always my grades were always suffering. You know, it was just one of those things that sometimes even in one of my years, my drugs and my addictions got so bad that I completely failed one of my years in high school, completely failed it. And I actually graduated in 3 years. I was in school for 4 years, but yeah, I actually graduated in 3 years, because one of them, I gave up. I had a lot going on at the time. I'll get into my personal story later, but you know, it does interfere. And I allowed myself to let the chaos just to whirlwind me and my emotions to get out of control. And it ends up happening so very quickly. And anyone who has an addiction or a dependency problem, and I don't even like to use the word problem. Let's not use the word problem because that sounds so, let's use the word challenge. I like the word challenge. And anyone that has an addiction challenge, you know, sometimes we are faced with hopelessness and sometimes we're faced with these ideas that, you know, that they've lost control of their life. You know, their relationships suffer, whether it be romantic or friends or family, all sorts of them. I mean, they lose friends left and right. And you know, our friends and family kind of look down on people with dependencies. If you've ever had any sort of addiction challenge in your life, you know, and it's been bad, you know how people can turn against you. You know how people look at you and they look at you with such sadness and they cut you off because they don't understand that this is a very tough challenge to overcome. This is one of the toughest challenges to overcome. And we're going to get into why it's so tough because everybody thinks, oh, well, it's an addiction. It's, you know, you can just quit drugs. You can just quit drinking. Well, you can just quit sex. You can just quit eating. But if you've never had an addiction, it's so much harder to just quit than just that. It is possible. I will say it is possible, and I am living proof that it is possible that you can quit anything at any time, you know, just on pure will. But, you know, our work and school and our relationships suffer, and most importantly, our health suffers. Oh, boy, does that what we do, the damage we do to our body, I mean, alcohol to our liver and kidneys, and same with drugs to our liver and kidneys. Everything has to detoxify, all the toxins out, you know, and food is the same way. Don't mistake food. Food with the dyes and the chemicals and the additives and the preservatives and all these different things that they add to food nowadays has to go to the liver and kidneys as well. And you know, and your body has to detoxify. And food is a tough addiction to get over. I've watched many of my family suffer from food addictions. And, you know, they didn't even know it was a food addiction. They just thought, well, oh, I need to lose weight. I just need to change my eating habits. I just need to do all these different things. But without realizing that they were chemically dependent on certain sugars, that they were chemically dependent on certain dyes, even food dyes, your body starts to crave. MSG, we've heard about MSG. People become addicted to MSG. And that's one of the reasons why it's been outlawed. So there are so many addictions and dependencies across the board, you know, and a lot of people don't even fathom that some of these are addictions. I've had so many people already tell me as soon as I posted this show, you know, well, why is toxic relationships or why are relationships part of this show? That's not an addiction. Oh, yes, it is. It goes into the same receptors, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but it goes into the same receptors, triggers the same stimuli as a drug, as alcohol, as food, as sex, and everything else. The body is wired the same, and the body doesn't understand. Oh well, this is drugs. This is alcohol. This is good for me. This is bad for me. It just goes on receptors and responses, and that's why I was saying, like, toxic relationships. I know many people that just constantly date the same people over and over, and they just don't understand what is going on. And it is a chemical dependence that they are attracted to, that they get from somebody else. That when they get that stimuli, oh, it's that rush of dopamine all over again. But there are several kinds of addictions, but the main kind, the three kind of addictions that we're going to talk about today are, the first addiction is physical. Okay, physical is a chemical dependence, and such as food, sugars, drugs, etc. And oftentimes physical dependencies or physical addictions have cues. So say like you're walking into, let's say I'm walking into Whole Foods and I'm really into, say, and one of my major things, and everyone knows I love my little black and white cookies. And maybe one of those things was I was sitting there saying, well, you know, okay, Raina, no more sugar, no more this. This is what I'm going to cut out. And as soon as I get to Whole Foods, I'm walking around, I'm all in the produce section, everything's great. And the moment I walk by the bakery, all of a sudden my body goes sugar and it kicks in and I get this chemical rush of dopamine and all of a sudden I need sugar. And because the body understands, oh my God, I can get this. I can crave it. It sends chemical messengers through and all of a sudden it triggers that cue. And that is what's known as a physical dependence or a physical addiction. The next one is a mental addiction. And this one is often caused with drugs and food and such disorders as depression. When we're depressed, we turn to a lot of drugs. We turn to drinking, and same with social anxiety, right? Everyone knows that I've had social anxiety through most of my life. And one of the things that I had trouble with that was every time I got crazy with stuff, every time my anxiety got out of control, I would sit there and I would turn to some sort of drug. I would turn to some sort of like alcohol. At one time, I used to drink a lot. And in high school, my big thing was marijuana because it calmed me down. I did not know at the time that I had social anxiety. And I just thought, and my family thought, that I just liked to party, that it was just one big party. I wanted to party, and that's what ended up happening. But no, what ended up happening was, as I got later in life, I realized that because of my mental anxiety and because I was so stressed out and because I was afraid of large crowds, because of how empathic I was, it would cause me depression. It would cause me anxiety. And I would turn to these drugs, and then all of a sudden it became a dependency, because all of a sudden, anytime I felt this feeling, I would turn to whatever calmed that feeling down. And that's how the body worked. And mental disorder also is fatigue. People who are chronic fatigue, people who suffer from chronic fatigue, often are chemically dependent on caffeine. A lot of times when I laugh at people, I say, oh, how many cups of coffee did you have? And they sit there and they're like, well, you know, well, I only had four today. I'm like, four? Well, why do you need that? Well, I that's the only way I can wake up. How many of you say that's the only time I can wake up? That's when we say that, and we're talking about caffeine, that's the only thing we can get. Like, I need caffeine in order for me to wake up, and then I need caffeine at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and at 6 o'clock. That is a chemical and a mental dependence. And the last one we're gonna talk about before we go to commercial break is food. Food, emotional eaters. You've heard of emotional eaters, right? And same with sex. Sex is also emotional. Emotional dependency as well, such as when you have your emotions going and you have anger going and fear and sadness. You know, what do we turn to? How many of us women? I know the guys can't agree with this, but maybe some of them can. But women, I know you're going to agree with this. How many times do we get upset and we turn to comfort food, right? And even guys do this too. Guys go out drinking more and do other stuff, but we turn to food. Why? Because it's comfort. It's a chemical dependence. It becomes addiction. And because if we suffer from chronic depression, if we suffer from chronic anger, if we suffer from things that have happened in our life that we deem that are big stressors in our life, it becomes emotional. And then we turn to these things to get those chemicals injected into our body so that we can get dopamine or serotonin released into us and we can feel good. All right, guys, we'll be right back after these messages.
With so many fads and gimmicks in today's world, it's crucial to understand the choices we make regarding what we ingest and apply to our bodies. KM Botanicals Custom Fusion Herbal Products help make those choices simple and smart. They use only the purest sourced ingredients that produce high-quality products your body will love. Their specialized custom blends are scientifically formulated to establish and maintain a healthy, radiant external as well as internal domain. KM Botanicals custom formulas are clinically developed by a licensed esthetician to suit your individual needs. Relish in the full line of therapeutic grade essential oils, or get creative and combine their high quality raw ingredients to create your own blends. With custom blends, KM Botanicals prides themselves on the promise that your products will be formulated and tailored just for you. Simply visit kmbotanicals.com to download your personal questionnaire and get started. That's KMBotanicals.com or call 954-281-5613 for more info. Give your body the healthy look it's been craving with KM Botanicals.
So what happens in the brain? Well, what happens when we have an addiction going on? What is going on inside of our brain? Well, the brain is made up of 3 pounds of gray and white matter. And basically what that is it's made up of billions of neurons and nerve cells that go all over the body that form neuron or network neurons. And these network of neurons basically pass, you know, messages back and forth. And so your brain is quite an advanced system, and actually your whole body. It's like an information superhighway. If you ever take a part of a computer and it has all these little, I don't even know the technical term, so I'm not even going to try to, but it has all these little resistors and everything inside of it and all these little metal components and all those little metal components. Some of them are receptors. Some of them are transmitters. Some of them, you know, are messengers. They pass back information back and forth. That's how computers work and all sorts of good things. Well, your body and the brain is the same way. So you have billions and billions of these neurons and nerve cells that make up this network. And you know, what is amazing about this is why I love this stuff, is because, you know, the brain and the body pass back about 4,000 messages a minute back and forth throughout the entire body. That is entirely fat. This is why I got into medicine, because the body is so amazing. And basically these messages, these neurons out in these networks control everything in your entire body. These control everything from your thinking, what you think, the way you feel, what you do. And it's just amazing how it goes back and forth. So what ends up happening is when you have these neurons, they're carried through a thing called neurotransmitters. And if you think of neurotransmitters as the mailman, so you have your mail center and you have your house, right? And so one of them is the transmitter. One of them sends out the message. The mailman delivers the mail to the house, right? And this is what happens all over the bodies. And it's a network of transmission back and forth. And so when you sit there and then you talk about, in the case of drugs and alcohol or chemical dependence, because we're going to use that, there are 3 main sections of the body or the brain that are affected by this. The first one is the brainstem. The second one is the limbic system. And the third one is the cerebral cortex. Well, the brainstem controls all functions in order to stay alive. It controls everything from your breathing to the blood pumping to your digestion. And it links the spinal cord to the whole body. So it transmutes everything throughout the entire body. Your limbic system, if you've listened to our radio show before, then you know the limbic system is what? The emotional response. Everything that's a stressor goes through the limbic system. So when we see a situation, or when we have a situation come to us or a challenge, does this cause a stress response or does it not? If it does, it goes to the limbic system, into the amygdala, and we have a stress response. The last one is the cerebral cortex. And if the cerebral cortex, if you've ever seen the brain, the cerebral cortex is the whole outside of the brain, the whole main part that you see. It looks like a bunch of wet tubes or a bunch of big, fat, wet little noodles that are on top of the head. And that's divided into four parts. You got the frontal, the parietal, the temporal, and the occipital. And those end up processing the information. So they process what you see, they process what you feel, they process what you taste, they process what you hear. And the frontal cortex, which is the front part of the brain, and that is due to critical thinking and problem solving and decision making. And we talked with it when we had the show about operant conditioning, how the limbic system and the frontal cortex all play a role in each other when it comes to fight or flight type of situation. So when we put chemicals into our body, we're actually tapping into the brain's communication center. And this is really important to understand. When we understand that the chemicals tap into the communication center, then we understand that this means that they're tampering with the nerve cells that normally send and receive processes of information. Well, that makes sense why we have so many problems when we turn to things like drugs and alcohol, and why when we're on them, they impair our judgment, why they impair our thought process, and why they impair our critical thinking. Because the moment it starts to, the moment the drugs and alcohol start to enter in there, or any type of harsh chemicals as MSG or plastics or dyes that enter our chemicals, they actually mimic hormones and often trick the receptors. And if you take a chemical like heroin, or like a drug like heroin, I should say, and heroin mimics the neurotransmitter and that the body actually produces. And so what it does is it fools the receptor into thinking it has that chemical. It has that, whether it is the dopamine or the serotonin or whatever it's bonding to, most of the time it's the dopamine. It actually fools that receptor into thinking it has it. And this happens, and people, I've talked about this with plastics and dyes, and that's why I tell people, if you're hyperactive, you stay away from dyes, because dyes do the same thing. Same with phthalates. Phthalates are liquid plastic that bond to the receptors of the body and often mimic hormones, and your body thinks, oh, well, hey, I have enough. I don't need to make that anymore. And so what it does is, it's the same like cocaine and methamphetamines. They release a big surge of dopamine. The body makes when you first start doing like drugs or the alcohol, it flushes out the dopamine. It's just this big, huge surge. And then all of a sudden, when it bonds to the receptor, it prevents the reuptake. And the reuptake is important, because what does dopamine do for our body? Dopamine is for intense excitement and happiness. So I know you guys can totally understand this. Have you ever watched a movie where it's all like maybe Star Wars or something that's like, you know, maybe one of those gunslinging movies or something that's big where there's a lot of action, a lot of blowing things up, or a Rocky movie? And what ends up happening is by the end of the movie, you're so stimulated. You're like, yeah, let's go. I just want to go and beat up everybody. I want to just take guns and just start blowing stuff up, right? Well, that is because dopamine was released into your body. Your prefrontal cortex saw things and processed information and said, okay, well, I hear all this excitement. I see all this excitement. So there's a lot of excitement going on, and I need to get excited. So let's shoot the dopamine, and dopamine goes. And that is why what ends up happening. So when we're doing drugs like cocaine, for example, because cocaine is a popular drug down here in Florida, what happens is you get people call it being geeked out. And when we're geeked out, it's because the body can't reuptake the dopamine. The cocaine told it to stimulate dopamine, and so the cocaine's in there, which is a stimulant. It stimulates the dopamine, and then it bonds to the cocaine, bonds to the receptors, and stops the reuptake of it. So you have all this dopamine flying around in between the inner spaces between the synapses and everything like that, and it's just just amazing. It's just like, and that's what gives you that jittery feeling. That's the same thing with ecstasy. Ecstasy is the same exact way, but with serotonin. The ecstasy calls for massive amounts of serotonin. It bonds, it stops the reuptake to go back up. And all of a sudden you have all this serotonin floating around in your body, and thus they call it rolling. And so it really alters the reward system. And that's the reason why we need more stimulus. Most of us, we need so much stimulus now. It's not even funny. We have to, we watch a movie. The next movie has to be bigger, better, badder. We have an experience. It has to be bigger, better, badder. And that's what's going on with this world, is we're becoming so desensitized through all this electronics, through everything that's going on, through all the drug use and all the partying and everything that we're doing, that we're desensitizing our body, and we're altering the reward circuit of pleasure. Our bodies are meant to experience pleasure, and when we don't, our body rewires the pathways. Remember, if you've listened to some of my past shows, I've talked about how the brain wires everything. The brain likes things in patterns. And this is why addiction is a pattern. This is why dependence is a pattern. And this is why it can be overcome regardless of what you think. Some may be harder, but the brain likes things in pattern. And so if you do the same thing over and over, the brain fires the neurons and the neural pathways in the same spot over and over. And it says, hey, this is the easiest route. Let's take this route each and every time, because I know this route. And I know that this is going to get me what I want. And that's what it does. It becomes automatic. That's why it's so easy for people with chemical dependency or sex or anything, that why it's so easy to fall back into it. It's because you have wired your brain to constantly fire that, to constantly travel down that neural pathway. And what happens is, the reason why we crave more, why we crave sex more, why we crave toxic relationships more, why we crave all this stuff more, is because the amount of dopamine actually gets reduced. It actually stops. It actually, because the dopamine is being tricked, because the synapses and the receptors are being tricked all the time, and it's producing so much, the body needs to regenerate. The body needs to do it. And so it stops making, or it reduces the amount of dopamine. And thus, that's why you need more. That's why heroin addicts have to have more heroin and more heroin and more heroin over and over and over, because the amount of dopamine, that rush that they're getting the very first time, can no longer be maintained by the body, and it never will. That's why some people will sit there and falter. I know many people who have stopped drugs and alcohol, or stopped their food addictions or sex, and then all of a sudden they didn't do it for a long time, and then all of a sudden they relapsed. And the first time, and they were like, oh man, and they told me, they're like, Miss Raina, it was that first time, it felt like that first time all over again. And it made me feel so good. I felt that rush, and I was just my downfall. And it was. Because why? Because the body was able to replicate that amount of dopamine again. It gave the body rest. It's just like with anything. It's like working out. Working out is an addiction. That's one of the things that I had to make sure. I was a workoutaholic, if I even said that right. I would work out constantly with myself. I worked out 6-7 days a week. Why? Because I loved that serotonin feeling, and I loved, and especially when I was at a period of my life where I only valued myself on the way I looked, then it was like, oh, I need to work out. I need to get a workout. I need that high. I need that high. I need people to like me. I need to have people find me attractive. And it was a mental, emotional, and a physical dependency. I mean, when I broke those categories down to you, a lot of times physical, mental, and emotion all play within each other. That's why some of the categories were intermixed, because they all kind of coincide with each other, and one can turn into another. You can be depressed about being, maybe we've had something that happened in our life, maybe our marriage fell apart, and then the next thing I know, all of a sudden I'm depressed. Well, all of a sudden, well, let me turn to this, because hey, let's go out drinking, and all of a sudden it starts. So one can lead into another, and one can coexist with another. But, you know, and so when you, like I said, when the repeated use is happening between these stuff, is when the amount of dopamine starts to the surge starts to drop. So the neurons reduce the amount of dopamine receptors. And that's the important thing to remember, is because not only is the amount of dopamine being made less, but also the amount of dopamine receptors. So you could have a bunch of dopamine floating around or pre-made, and then all of a sudden you may not have as much receptors. And that may also give you the feeling of not having enough as well. So the ability to feel pleasure is reduced, the ability to get that high is reduced, and thus the addiction is born. Chocolate. How many of you love chocolate, right? Well, chocolate is mostly eaten in sadness and depression, right? And chocolate, most of chocolate actually boosts serotonin. We think of it as a dopamine type of stimulant, and it does. But chocolate actually boosts serotonin levels. You have a tyramine, which is a breakdown from the amino acid tyrosine, which helps produce a dopamine level. And then you have phenylethylamine, and if I said that properly, which acts as amphetamine, which is similar to which produces dopamine. So actually, that's why chocolate, when a lot of, and you got to eat good chocolate, don't eat junk. You got to have like 70%, you know, at least in order for this to happen. But that's why your body turns to chocolate, because it can actually have substances, chemicals in there to produce dopamine or serotonin levels. So yes, chocolate does help us make us feel good, but at least get the 70% stuff. So my question to you is, before we go into commercial break, and I really want you to think about this, what are you looking for? We'll be right back after these messages from the Life of Raina.
A message from the Life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190, and schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofraina@icloud.com.
Okay, we are back. All right, so what is it that you're actually looking for? Are you lost? Did you lose something? Obviously, there is something that is incomplete in your life. If you're sitting there, because that's what addiction is all about. Addiction and dependencies are all about us losing something or finding something or something that's incomplete. Addiction is always about filling a need. It's always about finding something. So what is it that we're actually trying to find? What is it that we're actually trying to fill? What is it that we're trying, the need that, are we trying to find our feelings? Are we trying to disguise our feelings? Are we trying to find self-love? Are we trying to find our self-esteem, our self-worth? Are we trying to hide? Are we trying to mask pain and suffering? Maybe we've experienced too much pain in our lives. I know I have at certain points of my life, and I wanted to shut it down. So maybe it's just that. Maybe we've experienced too much sadness and grief. There are some people that, hey, have had a lot of sadness and grief. We may have lost many family members, a child, whatever. And there's always reasons for our dependencies and our addictions to be born. And since our body is looking in a chemical dependence, since our body is looking in that type of scenario, since our body is trying to fire the neural pathways and trying to build those super highways, then what is it that our body and ourselves is trying to look for? Oftentimes, it is all about not accepting who we are in our life or our life itself. Maybe we don't accept the way life has turned out. Maybe we just don't like how our life is. Maybe we had the idea that our life was supposed to be better in some way, shape, or form, or we were supposed to be able to, by this age, we were supposed to have this and this and this, and I was supposed to be married, or I was supposed to have kids, or I was supposed to have the big job, or whatever. Or maybe it was the choices that we've made. Maybe the choices in our life that we've decided that was going to be tough, that was going to sit there, and all of a sudden we decide, because we look at our choices as good or bad, right or wrong, positive or negative, backwards, forwards, better, worse, because we have those judgments about it, our choices are just so devastating. What if I would have done this? What if I would have paid more attention in the school? What if I would have done this? And that's when it starts to begin. The addiction starts to begin, the mental addiction, the emotional addiction, the depression, the sadness, everything starts to crumble. Your world around you starts to crumble because you do not accept you for who you are. And let me tell you something, that can be very, very devastating at times. Maybe too many toxic relationships, right? We've talked about the toxic relationship quite a few times tonight, as far as, and you know, it is, you know, I have quite a few friends that love that person that's just like, and they always say, oh, is she or he crazy? Well, if he's crazy, then they're for me. And they laugh about it because it's true. It's like they find that one person that's always going to let them down. They always find that one person that's always going to treat them bad. And that is a chemical and dependency in itself, because I always tell people, because when I was asking, I've had quite a few, like I said, quite a few people ask me that this week. And they said, well, Ms. Rhea, how is that? And I said, well, you know, again, it's a chemical dependency. If someone treats me bad, And I feel down about myself, I could say, in my body, my ego can say, well, see, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And then all of a sudden, when they do treat me good that one or two times, I get that surge of dopamine or that surge of serotonin. Oh, see, they do love me. They do love me. And that pattern in itself is addiction. That pattern in itself is toxic. And oftentimes we will do that over and over because we don't value ourselves. We don't have the self-esteem. We don't have the self-worth in order for us to say, hey, you know, I'm worth it. So we need drugs, we need alcohol, we need sex. I have a dear friend who is beautiful in every which way. And they are going through a divorce. And I am telling you, and this person has turned to sex and partying and everything like that, because that is their stimuli. That's how they are. They're letting their anger out and their aggression out. That's how they're dealing with it. But what they're not realizing is they're actually forming a dependence, because now every time they get mad, this is going to be their go-to. Oh, you're mad. Let's go have sex. Oh, you're mad. Let's go get a drug. Let's go drink. Let's go do this. And this is what the brain does. This is them. Maybe even you were bullied like me. I was bullied as a child like crazy. And so maybe you're bullied. Maybe it's as simple as appearance. Maybe you have such low self-esteem. And often I was talking to one of my students today about this, and I was like, you know, there's oftentimes people who are very beautiful have the lowest self-esteem because all men want from them is to have sex with them. And so maybe for every one guy that actually wants a real relationship, 500 want sex. And so they develop a low self-esteem. And then all of a sudden it becomes an addiction. It becomes a habit. It becomes, you know, the emotional depression becomes a habit. See, I'm not worth it. I'm not this. And all these little things start to intertwine. And then our life isn't as good as it was. And you know what? I need to go this. I need to act out in order to feel something. I need to do this and be number one in order for me to get that dopamine rush. I need to hit the home run in order for me to make up for my life, in order for me to feel good. And all these little things are dependencies and addictions. And I hope that right now you're really understanding that really addiction and dependency is in every corner of our life. And oftentimes we don't think about the things that we're doing, the things that we call habits, that can actually be a form of addiction or dependency. And my nail biting, which I have not bit my nails in 2 weeks, thank you. And it has been a lifelong struggle for me. And people laugh at me when I say that, but it has been a lifelong struggle for me because when my anxiety goes up, my whole thing is to put my nails in my mouth right away. Put my nails, start biting, and I end up doing that. And so I had to sit there and say, what is going on? What am I looking for? And then I realized what I'm looking for was the key. I was looking for the source of all chaos was that. And so, yes, I had a drug problem. I had a drug problem for most of my life. I had a sex addiction problem, too, because I dealt with the way I felt about myself and the way people treated me. I treated the same way, and I knew that I could get sex because of my appearance. So, hey, if nobody wanted to date me and everyone always had this opinion of me, I could do that. So I was bullied from fifth grade to my senior year almost every single day by a group of people that it took me a long time to get over it. And because of that, I turned to drugs. I had bad grades. I couldn't deal with the fact that I was bisexual and I was gender fluid, and let alone being a spirit guide, a psychic, an empath, and no one to talk to. Hey, I brought it up one time and my friends laughed at me so much that I was like, oh, I couldn't do it. And so I hated myself. I was so lost and so confused for most of my life that I just didn't know what to do. And I was so disliked by everybody. Everyone seemed like I couldn't win anywhere. I couldn't make any friends. I had like one friend, if even that, half the time. And, and all I wanted to do was be somebody else. And so I turned to drugs. I did drugs at a very early age because the city, when Chicago, the city that I lived in, my friend's parents did them. And so, hey, here you go. Take a load off. And I didn't know any better. And that was the start of it. Ooh, this makes me feel good. Oh my God. For an hour, I don't have to think about who I am, what I am, and how I am. And I don't have to think about anything in my problems. All I know is I feel good and I want more of this. And my eyes lit up and it was all about that. And that's what happened. And so then, because I couldn't really find people to date too much, I took out my anger and I took out everything. I said, well, I can use sex because, hey, people wanted to have sex with me. So I used sex to feel. Because I felt dead inside, I used sex to feel, and I used sex to push people away too, because I didn't want the emotional connection, because I knew that relationships were just going to let me down, that I actually pushed them away by using sex. Well, if everybody knows me as someone who just wants sex and does this and does that, well, then they're not going to want a relationship. And it worked like a charm. Let me tell you something. I got anybody to believe whatever I wanted about me because I knew that I could do certain things just by action. People will judge you on your action. People who never even know you, if you show them something once or twice, they will instantly form a pattern about you and say, this is who you are. And I figured that out at such an early age. I was like, well, wow, I can do this and I can be away. I can push people away and I can be in my misery. I can just party. And hey, if I die, I don't care. It was complete chaos. And the key for me was that I needed to find myself. I needed to find the love for myself, that I was worth it. And I had to accept who I am and what I am and everything about my life, my challenges. And I had to stop being the victim. I had to stop blaming others for my life. I had to stop blaming others for the situations in my life. Because, hey, whether someone picked on me or teased me, that's on them. It was my responsibility of how I handled the situation once it came to me. And as long as I kept saying, well, everybody's fault, and pointing the finger at everybody, once I took responsibility and I no longer stopped saying, well, oh, poor me, and it's every, oh, what's the point? Everybody's just going to be like this. Once I changed that idea in my life, I found my personal power. I grew in such strength. It was unbelievable. I felt this rush. You want to talk about dopamine and serotonin surging, and they fight with each other. But you want to talk about that going off at once and just like an explosion inside your body once everything clicked. And I said, wow, this is all about me. This dependency and this drug is all about me. I started to cherish myself. I started to love myself. I started to accept who I was. And I started to see the power in it. And when I did that, I beat every addiction hands down. I said crack cocaine, done. I said weed, done. Alcohol, done. Sex, done. Everything was done instantly. And everyone looked around at me and was like, how did you do that? And you know what? And still to this day, if anything ever pops up, I still can beat it. I can flat out hands beat it. And this is the only challenge that has ever been. And I'm proving to myself right now with my nail bite, and I'm showing for the YouTube channel, I'm showing my nails, but this is the only challenge that was a difficult, but I am still choosing to show people that once your mind is made up about something, once you find your power, that any addiction can be beat. And so people say to me all the time, Ms. Raina, oh, I wish I had your personal power. And I laugh at them. And I said, you do have it. You were born with it. Everybody in this world, every person in this world was born with their personal power, with such strength and such greatness and such that to reject it is devastating to your body. And that's why, you know, I was in and out of rehabs here and there, and none of them did anything. And I still to this day don't believe in them. I don't believe that you need a rehab for anything. I don't believe that, because once you find who you are, once you accept the challenges and the things that have happened in your life and say, hey, these things were meant to make me stronger. These things were meant to make me wiser. These things were meant to teach me about me, and stop playing the victim, it will change instantly. But the rehabs, their structure, I don't agree with it, because the structure that they do, and I've been in many of them, and I've been even for supportive for people, and that most of them keep you the victim. Most of them lower your self-esteem and lower your self-worth. I mean, I've been in these places, and they've told you, oh, you need us. You can't do this without us. You better believe in God. You better believe in us. And you better not do anything without us. Otherwise, you will fail. And I've watched these people, and many. I've been in rehabs all over for friends and everything else, and even just for speaking. And I have watched them tell you that you don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the knowledge to do it. You don't have it in you. Unless you believe in a God, unless you believe in their program, and unless you do all these things, that you will fail. And they instill fear in you, because they know as long as you have fear that you will fail. As long as there is doubt, you will fail. And as long as you have any form of low self-esteem, you will always fail, and you always depend on them. And you know what? You will never, ever beat the system. You will never, ever beat that type of system at all. Anyone that tells you that you need them, that you need this specific religion or spirituality, or that you need to buy stuff to get better, or that you need to be dependent on it, you need to walk away, because they do not have your best interest in heart. Okay, my students, the first thing I tell them, the moment they start depending on me, and you can ask every single one of them, I say, whoa, I put on the train tracks. You will not be dependent on me. I am here to make a leader, and you will be a leader. You figure this out for yourself, because I am not. You have all the knowledge you have. I have taught you, and now you need to be that leader. And I make sure that codependency does not happen. But you must learn to believe in yourself. But yes, you do need help sometimes. You do need the supportive friends. Find the supportive friends. Find the supportive family. Find the places. There are rehabs out there and places out there that do help you find you. Not all of them are out to get you or out to keep you to make money. Not all of them are out to keep you down. But there are ones that are out there, and make sure they want to help you find you, that they want to teach you about inner strength and what self-love does and self-worth, and to help you face your life challenges, because that's what it really is about. Remember, addiction and dependency is about finding you, is about acceptance, about self-worth and self-reliance. As long as you are relying on other people, addiction and dependency is always right around the corner to just come and get you. But once you are self-reliant, once you believe in yourself, once you love yourself, you will be unstoppable, and I promise you that. You must realize that you're worth it. You must realize that you're worth the time, you're worth the effort, and that you're worth the love, that you believe in you no matter what happens. Learn to find yourself and your self-worth, and you'll find a life without internal conflict or battles with dependency and addiction. All right, everybody, that is tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm already getting texts that the YouTube channel is having problems again. I am sorry. I don't know. We are going to have to sit down. I think I'm going to do we had a show scheduled for next week, but I think I'm going to take off next week. I'll pay attention to the social media, but I think I'm going to do that so we can get this YouTube thing strained out, because it looks really bad for business. I'm really excited to YouTube, but one week it's working, not one week it's not. Then you can hear commercials, then you can't hear commercials. So I really need to figure out what's going on. But in the meantime, you can follow us on our Facebook at facebook.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. You can follow us on our YouTube channel when it's working at youtube.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. Follow me personally on my Facebook at facebook.com/The Life of Raina, or visit our website, soulandspiritguide.com, and sign up for the newsletter to receive special hidden shows, VIP access to the website, and special offers from our guests when we have guests on here. If you want to email me, you can email me with any of your questions, comments, or concerns at thelifeofreina@icloud.com. Again, everybody, I want you to believe in yourself, and just remember, it's not our abilities, our talents that make us who we are, but it is our choices. So make them good. Have a good night.